Hey there, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today I have with me Martin Scheibler, which he's going to make so much fun of me for that. But Martin is the head of SEO at Postmates in the Bay Area. And formerly he was at the Next Web based over in Europe. And so, Martin, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here with me. I really appreciate it. It'd be awesome if you could give us a little bit of background into yourself and what you do and how you do it.
Cool. Thanks, John. And that's one of the best pronunciations of my name.
Yes.
So yeah, since like 5 to 6 months, I've been running the SEO team here at Postmates. And like you said, I was previously the marketing director at the Next Web. I was running a marketing team of like 15 people there. We were basically working for all the different business units there. We were basically a publisher, tech media company. Most well known of from the nextweb.com, where we were writing about technology and mostly internet in the industry, organizing events like TNW conferences. So 5 to 6 months ago, I moved to San Francisco from Amsterdam, started here at Postmates, where I'm responsible for everything related to SEO and our app stores, basically with the goal to drive more organic search visibility and obviously mostly clicks. From organic search towards the businesses of Postmates, which is basically on-demand food delivery. So we can basically deliver anything that fits into a certain size box to you 24/7 on demand. And usually we would deliver that between, depending on the item and depending on the location and the distance, between 25 and 50 minutes.
Wow, that's awesome. So you're basically tasked with getting more people to come find you through Google if they're looking for like some sort of, yeah, getting like dog food delivered or something like that, like they can order it through Postmates.
Exactly. Like the majority of our business is basically focused around food. So like if you're looking for a sushi delivery in New York or sushi delivery in Minneapolis, like we're the company that can get that food to you from your favorite local restaurant or your favorite restaurant just a little bit further than a walk away. Yep. Within that amount of time. Next to that, we focus like on alcohol and drinks. Like what if you're like thirsty, but like you can't drive to a liquor store anymore? Yeah. Then we don't want you to drive, obviously, so we can deliver that for you. And another thing is like general items. Like if you're working on your home, you need some paint from a certain store, we can deliver that to your place as well. So basically keep you painting.
I hadn't even considered that I could use Postmates to, like, if I'm building something in my house, but you know, I need a specific thing, I could just like order it on Postmates and keep working on something else and not have to take like 20 minutes, drive to the hardware store, get it, come back, wait an hour.
Yeah, it's one of our biggest like USPs as a company. Like you don't want to, like I at least as a person in this company, but also like as a user, I don't want to be stuck with like going up and down to the supermarket to pick up like one or two things. Like if I can also get that delivered through Postmates, that's basically what I would like.
Totally.
And of course, we see an incredible market fit, so there's a lot of demand for the things that we do.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That totally makes sense. So, so you're at Postmates now, and you worked on the Next Web before. Obviously, these are two like quite large websites, and I'm sure Postmates is only going to grow as you move into new markets and all that. And the Next Web is just kind of constantly growing as you had more contributors and that sort of thing, just more stuff being published. And of course, like your team's growing, and we were just talking offline that like your team there at Postmates is growing as well. So today I wanted to talk with you about basically large website SEO, which is, you know, my specialty as well. I don't work on websites that are less than 1 million pages when I'm working with clients. So large site SEO has its own kind of set of challenges. So I'd definitely like to talk about that, but I'd also love to talk about getting things done within a company like that, right? I mean, Postmates is what, 500 people, you said? Something like that?
Yeah, something like that. We have around 200, 250 people at this point.
Okay.
In San Francisco, at least, that's our headquarters. Mm-hmm. We have around, I think, around 200 people in our Nashville office, which is a big sales support customer service office.
Okay.
And we have another, I think there are around 15 in Bellevue, Seattle, Washington.
Yeah.
And then probably like a few dozen working remote from all kinds of places.
Yeah.
Or like on a more local level. So as we're like active in so many different markets, it's good to have like a lot of boots on the ground there.
Yeah, totally, totally. That 100% makes sense. So when you come into a new website, whether it's, you know, coming into Postmates, and you know, you guys basically have like, you have different markets, then you have different like categories within those markets, it seems, or like the Next Web, where you had different, you know, different areas. What are the first things that you tend to go to in order to, you know, like what are normally the quickest wins that you find, or what are the things that you get in place first? Is it processes? Yeah. Is it an audit? Like what do you do?
Yeah, so when I joined the Next Web, they basically told me like, okay, we need to grow, and like we believe that one of the more easy channels to grow and like one of the most scalable solutions is of course SEO. And it was the same with Postmates. The funny thing with Postmates is that they basically did never any SEO. They're like, we're like a incredibly big company. Like if you look at our funding numbers and the number of users that we reach on a monthly basis,
yeah,
it's basically crazy if you consider that they've never done SEO.
Yeah,
but for basically both companies, where I would always start in a technical audit is like figuring out what the actual issue is. So they've never done SEO, but does that mean like it's chaos, or is it like, are they in a stable state? When I joined the Next Web, like it was definitely in like a stable state.
Okay.
We were running in WordPress, so it was relatively easy because like so many sites in the world are obviously running WordPress.
Yep.
So it's very easy to figure out what you can do with that. Postmates was a little different. Like there was zero setup. There were no tools. There was no team. Basically, nobody really knew what, where to start.
Yep.
So we started there mostly looking at like, okay, what are the tools? Like what's available? And on top of that, like Postmates is a completely like custom built platform. There's no default CMS there. So start with a big technical audit, like figuring out what to get access to, like what tools we had in place. It turned out we didn't have any tools in place.
Yep.
Basically not even Google Search Console, which I would recommend to start with for any site on whatever scale.
Yep.
So start up there and basically figured out what the first things would be that we wanted to work on. Like they promised me, at least at Postmates, like that we would have engineering support, which turned out to be the case. Like I got 3 to 4 engineers on my team already.
Fantastic.
After 5 months. Start there, like make a quick hit list of things that you want to take care of, like in your first either week, depending on how big your organization is,
yep,
or like the first month. And that can range from like things that really can provide a quick win, like optimizing titles. One of the things that they didn't have in place, like every page had the same title. It didn't matter what kind of template, what kind of restaurant, it was all the same.
Interesting.
Same with like heading structures, like H1s, H2s, H3s, that's what every SEO is aware of.
Right.
Like that was not there. That structure, there was no relevancy, there was no uniqueness.
Yep.
Basically, every page was exactly the same in terms of the structure there. So this is one of the first things we focused on, and we saw some early wins there. And they were also like very minor changes, because like changing a title tag based on like the scale of the site, that's super easy to change for a company at this scale.
Yeah.
And from there, it was mostly like, I think these were like the first 2 to 3 weeks, like working with the engineers, getting to know them, getting to know how they work as well, and figuring out what we could do from there. And after that, it was mostly like a lot of research, figuring out what our audience or what our users are needing, what are they searching for, tons of keyword research. And in the food market, that's really hard because you get to look at food all day long, which makes you hungry.
But you work at Postmates, you can get it delivered.
I know, and I also have it in the office, so that's amazing, yeah. So like that provided a lot of input, and basically from there, we started to build a more robust product roadmap. It's like, gotcha. Think about what kind of features or what kind of templates are we missing right now,
yep,
that we see a lot of search demand for, but nobody, or that there's no page for.
Gotcha.
And we're still in the process of building out these kind of pages, and we hope to launch them like soon in another rapid pace. And from there, we'll start more ongoing optimization efforts, I would say.
Sure.
At least that's one of the areas we focus on.
Gotcha. Gotcha. It's amazing to me how like you come into a site like Postmates that, I mean, I pulled it up and you guys are like, you have a strong website, you know, you're a well-known brand, like you have a ton of mobile usage. And you can come in and like those basics are not in place, and you can go and optimize like your, you know, optimize your title tags, optimize your H1s, add in H1s or H2s, and just pretty quickly see a like see it start to rise, even with publishing no new content, right? Or just like basic like add XML sitemaps or like add a crawlable site structure and everything to start like number of index pages starts going up in a good way, and it just like it can move the needle really quick.
Absolutely, because there's like so much low-hanging fruit and there's like so much that needs to be done. Like, you're gonna show results regardless. So it's mostly like for other people on the team, like keeping track of what's going on and making sure that you can measure that impact, but also that you can keep up that pace, because over time you will slow down and you can't keep on shipping at that same rate. That's basically impossible.
Yeah, totally.
But so far so good.
Yeah, totally. So let's talk about, let's talk about getting things done inside a big company for SEO purposes, because I'm sure a lot of people that are listening have dealt with this. I'm sure you've dealt with it. I've dealt with it where, you know, you want to get something done and you basically like, you know, if you're not the final say to like, you know, get it done with a, you know, an engineering team or something like that, which is amazing. You have that at Postmates. I had that at Hotpads and it was in Trulia and it was just like, it was awesome. Like once I got that team in place, it was just like everything just sped up and, you know, we just saw so much growth, like really fast. We were actually able to get things done.
Actually even one of the questions I asked them, like when I was interviewing with the team here, I was like, well, you can like hire me, but like if you don't give me either design or engineering support from day one or like very soon after, mm-hmm. like I don't really, I wouldn't say like it's a requirement, but like you can't just put an SEO there and don't give him or her the support that she or he needs. Mm-hmm. And definitely in like bigger companies, they will need engineering support, or although it like can depend what kind of company you work in, but in our case it was like required for me from the start that I would have engineers on my team.
Yeah, gotcha. How have you gone about and did you have to pitch that, or are they like, oh, that makes sense?
No, the great thing at Postmates is luckily that they have a great belief in growth. Like, I'm part of the growth team. Awesome. Our VP growth is amazing. I've seen it all. Mm-hmm. So we always had engineers. I think when I came on board in the growth team, we had around 10 engineers in total.
Wow.
So there, basically out of that, there was already a lot of support. And like once you start growing and the overall team is growing, that makes it harder to basically pitch that you need more engineers, because you can provide them with a roadmap and with a backlog of things like, okay, this is what we want to do. This is the results we proved so far. So for more results, I just need more people, because at such a big company or at such a big scale, the things that you're doing, like very minor changes can have a very big impact.
Absolutely.
So like that's what you're mostly working towards.
Yeah. And at that point, it just becomes a matter of like, Just getting things done. It's like, look, we can get it done. You know, they get like in a true growth team, they get this like, you know, hypothesis, roll it out, measure it, you know, decide to double down on it, or, you know, move in a different direction, you know, as opposed to like, whoa, what exactly are we going to get? Like, what money are we going to get back for making these title tag changes? It's like, I can give you some like bullshit numbers, right? And say like, if we get this much traffic, then we can, you know, at our current conversion rates, we'll make X. Right. But at the end of the day, we're kind of like, you know, it's like a data driven finger in the air. Right. Just to get the resources to get it done.
It sounds like at yours, the beginning, it was pretty fake. Yeah. But like these days we're getting a little better at it. And probably like I hope we like a quarter from now, we're getting pretty good at forecasting what the impact could be from certain features.
Totally.
But mostly at the beginning, like there's so much stuff to be done that basically you as an SEO manager or the person like working on SEO, mm-hmm. or probably any area in a certain growth team, you like create a backlog or a roadmap so fast that there's like way more. Basically with every hour you put in, you probably produce like a day of work.
Right.
For engineers or for designers. So very rapidly you basically need the support to keep going, otherwise you're like stuck in your own little world and you can't get things done.
Right, totally. So let's talk about that real quick, because you say like, you know, you do an hour's worth of research and, you know, you can come up with like a day's worth of work, or, you know, 2 days worth of work for an engineer or a couple engineers. Are you basically like a PM as well? Like you're doing the investigation, or someone on your team is doing the investigations, and then y'all are like putting together the roadmap, grooming the roadmap, working with your like engineering counterpart to scope the size of work and running sprints? Like how does that work for you?
Yeah, very close to that. So how our teams are structured is that basically every different area has its own PM. So some of the other teams are like more product management focused than my team is, because like we have a longer roadmap too. Like we don't work until it's like a certain product, because we keep going and it's very ongoing.
Yeah.
So that's changing a lot of things. But from a traditional perspective, yeah, I'm basically also the PM at the same time. And based on that, we build out the roadmap as well. Like I'm responsible for the roadmap. I decide basically what gets done based on the research that we're doing too.
Nice.
Over time, that will likely change and we'll get like, we're probably not going to give it the title, not the title of PM, but basically in a similar role that will take over the, like, let's say the ongoing responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So I can focus more on like the strategic level and the smaller sub teams that we're creating over time.
And
we're still looking for analytics support or analytics and data support at the same time. To basically make research easier, because like there's so much data out there, and like definitely at the scale that you're operating now,
mm-hmm.
You need more support there very fast on as well.
Yeah.
To make better decisions, to make prioritization easier.
Totally.
But also to like focus on forecasting, and over time, like that's not based on some Excel calculations anymore,
right.
But that goes way further down to basically the bottom line of what certain efforts can contribute to overall growth as either the team or the company.
Totally, totally. So when you were at the Next Web and kind of going through this sort of, you know, sort of thinking and trying to figure out like, you know, how you grew like their organic traffic, what were the things that you went through, or how did you basically go about like, or I guess what were the questions that you were asking about, you know, about growth, like trying to ask of the data in order to know like, you know, what do we prioritize? What are the processes we need to put in place? Because enterprise SEO is all about processes, right? It's not about like, oh, change this H1 tag. It's like, no, we need to like launch these 50,000 new pages, and how do we interlink them, and you know, and all of that. Like, it's just a very different scale of thinking than we need the name, address, phone number the same across the site and 300 words of content.
Yeah, exactly. So it's usually mostly like, where can you get the biggest return and the biggest impact?
Mm-hmm.
And then usually, of course, with as less investment as possible. So at TNW, we were like basically in another stage of the company. Like we like had already done so much stuff, and we were growing definitely at the end when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried so many things that you're basically looking for things that are sometimes scalable, but also like not scalable, because you need to try or to keep on trying new things that hopefully move the needle in some way or the other.
Hmm. Can you give me an example?
So one of the things for a publisher in general, like social media is obviously super important, and for any side at an enterprise level.
Yeah.
But over time, you just keep growing at the same rate. Let's say like social media is like responsible for 25% of your traffic, and then like Facebook is responsible for 60% of your social media traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But like 60% of 25% is just becoming over time like more or way less of a priority, because like it basically degrades over time.
Right.
The value of only one platform out of like hundreds that are driving traffic to a publisher.
Yep.
So you're trying to come up with new ideas basically to drive more growth from a certain channel.
Hmm.
And that's really hard, because like you have a baseline. We had like, I think over 1 million Facebook likes.
Oh, wow.
They just hit like a million Facebook likes just after I left. So like even like moving the needle there with like 1% is not really going to have an impact then.
Yep.
Like getting this from 1 million to 1.01 million, like these are still like very big numbers, right?
Yep.
Like 10,000 new likes or followers or even like search traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So like making an impact that's like very scalable And at the same time, really move the needle instead of like moving it forward like 1%, because like 1% of a channel that's only driving 1% of traffic, that's not really going to do much at that scale.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like as a publisher, I think you have the unique issue that a lot of content is like outdated in 7 days from now.
Right.
The lifespan of what you're pushing out is very short. So like making sure that you can do stuff with that for organic like search, social, or like social in a more viral component, like some news that comes up today and that goes viral tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's making life very hard in such a company.
Right.
And here that's a little bit easier because like your business model is different. You can scale more things.
Yeah.
It's more transactional driven.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. And you could directly tie back to if we drive 100 people to like this restaurant in Denver, and then we know that 10% are going to buy or 5% are going to buy, and it's going to mean X on average.
Exactly. Like based on averages in like cities or different food categories, I can do a lot of calculations basically to figure out where to invest more time or not.
Yeah, totally. Gotcha. But versus at the Next Web, it was much more like raw audience. Like you're driving page views. So it's more like, I'm not gonna say it's tricks, but it's just a very different, like different, there are different strategies that you employ than like an evergreen sort of thing like Postmates.
Yeah. So like traditional marketing, of course, you can easily say like, okay, five more customers bring in this amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
In a software as a service company, you can say, okay, five more leads is like, or five qualified leads is like one customer in the end.
Yep.
So you can basically provide your value. But as a publisher, that's very hard because like tomorrow, if you hit the front page of Reddit, Hacker News, or like Facebook, mm-hmm. you can get a million extra views, but like that doesn't, that isn't monetized in the same way as like bringing in a million extra users to Postmates these days.
Right, totally.
Like bringing that in tomorrow, like is gonna incredibly boost the bottom line potentially.
Yeah.
While at a publisher, it has a more long term effect because you have higher numbers in terms of reach,
mm-hmm.
But you mostly go out to, and of course that has an impact because of like programmatic advertising. So you get more ads, of course.
Yeah.
But like the more pages you push through on a certain day, the lower your CPM will be eventually.
Mm.
So it's hard to basically monetize that at the same rate from like start to finish.
Right.
While like in a transactional business or a qualified one, it's making it harder.
Gotcha. So what are some of the lessons?
Sorry, easier. Actually.
Yeah, easier. So what are some of the lessons that you took, like that you learned, you know, working on a site like the Next Web that you've taken over to Postmates that are going to serve you well, like into the future?
So basically what we just discussed, like working with a return on investment that's very unknown is making things very hard because like it's making it harder to do a pitch for resources. It's harder to calculate what a certain campaign will contribute back to either like marketing budgets, the company in general, or like your total reach. While in a transactional business, that's making forecasting really hard. So one of the areas I tend to focus on a little bit more is like proving what a certain customer can bring in on a return base.
Interesting.
But even like bigger investments, like it's making it harder to justify what you need because you can say, okay, we're driving like a million extra users over, let's say, the next year, like mm-hmm. just an example number. And that's like basically bringing in this amount of money. But like if I want to speed up the growth there, like I need like two engineers, and probably from 1 million I can bring it to 1.5 million.
Right.
That number is more easy to justify to justify in general as a bigger company.
Totally. You can say like if I have
just
You can say like if I have, you know, one full stack developer and one designer, we can do a million. But if I can get two full stack developers and keep that same designer, then we can hit 1.5, and they're costing us 150K. So, you know, then it makes sense, right?
Yeah, I'll leave the salary number open, but it basically
you
works.
You wish you
like
could
this.
Get a full stack developer in the Bay Area for 150K.
Yeah, I wish I could.
Totally. That's really interesting. I mean, I hadn't really thought about the challenge that people can have, or that businesses have, like the publication model versus like the transactional model like you have now. And it must be like, it must be fun to move away. Well, I guess, how has it been to move away from that, like, you know, the constant like churning out of new content to like, now you're focused on, I mean, yeah, you're adding in new cities and new page types and new restaurants and whatever, but like, it's less of like a churn and burn sort of thing. You really get to like invest down. How has that been, and how has that changed your thinking around SEO? Like, what have you stopped doing and what have you started doing?
Yeah. So actually, before I was at the Next Step, I was at like also in a marketplace kind of business, where we were like working with buyers and sellers, and we were like the kind of middleman. Here it's like a three-sided, because you have like drivers, the merchant, the restaurant, and like you and I as the customer ordering stuff.
Right.
And it brings up like very interesting problems, but also like very interesting ideas, because in basically a marketplace business, you're always dealing with like content that's not yours. You need to create a lot of content around that. Mm-hmm. While like at a publisher, the only thing you do is basically creating content, because like that's your core business.
Right.
So that's making the core of what you're working on, and mostly from what you're looking at from an SEO perspective, different, like of course way different. Mm-hmm. So here I'm mostly looking at, like, I have tons of data. I can basically produce more data here, or I have the opportunity to work with more data than at the Next Web, because like you can only produce like X amount of blog posts per person a day. But here it could be that like we add a certain restaurant chain or a certain company that's like providing us with like 100 locations or like 1,000 locations all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mostly like finding out what you can do on like such a scalable level. We're working with like all the companies that are like on your local street corner. So like providing that local feeling, but still providing all the information that you really need to know about like when to post an order. That's making it really, really different, but also, and that makes you think in a little bit more scalable way. Although you have that approach across both companies, but like you have, like at Postmates, I have the opportunity to work more with like scalable solutions that work across the board. Well, from time to time at the Next Step, you need to think more about like one-off cases.
Interesting. Like, we wrote this piece, it blew up. How do we make sure that now when people are searching it and it's trending, we're number one in stories, we're number one in top stories, we're number one in organic. And so you're like being pulled into those individual areas.
Yeah, exactly. Like that was basically like the life at the Next Web, which was like, okay, you're always bringing in a certain baseline, let's say, of visitors. So I think it was like 60 or 70% of like numbers would be very stable across the board over month over month, even if you wouldn't produce any content that month.
Sure.
But like the additional 30 to 40% was really being influenced by the amount of content you're producing. Like, whether are you what's your performance on social media for that month? Are you hitting like the Reddit homepage or like the Yahoo homepage? Like, if you would hit that, then of course your targets or like your performance in that month would completely switch. While here I'm mostly thinking about like, okay, by making certain tweaks to certain like pages, I can show a 5% improvement this month. And probably if I iterate on top of that, I can add another 5%. And of course, like, that's more than 10% in the end, because like you're adding an iterative 5% month over month.
Totally.
So it's more of a compounding effect here than it was at the Next Web.
Gotcha. Interesting. And you probably also dealt with like, and every marketplace and every content site deals with this as well, is like expired content, right? And expired offers. So it seems like you don't really deal with that too much at Postmates. Like, I'm sure you have restaurants that get off, but.
Yeah, like it sometimes happens, but it's like less of an issue. And with TW, that was definitely an issue. We knew exactly, not necessarily for specific categories or for specific companies that we wrote about, what the lifespan was for an article. But the average lifespan is like pretty short. I can't really disclose the actual number, but it's really short.
Gotcha. And so what would you, if someone is like, last question for you on this whole thing, and we'll wrap it up. How did you deal with like expiring content or content that had, you know, gone past its like it's shelf life or
Yeah.
whatever.
So we were basically dividing the content in like certain buckets. Like one of them is like news content. It's like news that basically is outdated in 3 days and nobody's ever going to look at it besides like somebody's very curious on what happened on that certain date. But like that's going to bring in maybe like 1% more traffic to that segment of posts. The other thing is like posts from contributors, because that's a scalable thing. Like you can ask add as many contributors as you want to, as long as you basically check their quality. So that's more scalable, and their lifespan is like way longer because they're not focused on news.
Breaking
Like it
news,
takes
right?
you a week or so, breaking news or even like regular news that just comes up. And then like there's a third area, which is more like that the content that was written by our staff, and that's more long term. Think about like listicles or background articles, like a review of like your latest iPhone or latest Android device. That's gonna have a longer lasting impact, like for 6 months to a year or until the new version comes out.
Right.
So all of them basically have a different lifespan, and it's basically looking at different segments and what you can do there and how much overall they contribute to your traffic. And that's what we were focused on.
Gotcha. And so would you cull out like stuff that, you know, wasn't driving traffic anymore, like no indexing it or, you know, removing it from sitemaps, that
no.
sort of thing? No.
No, we were never doing that. Basically we knew when a blog post would be outdated, but in some cases, it was like worth it to update the blog post platforms in the world. That's stuff that never is outdated, although the article might be 2 years old, but the topic is still like up and coming, because still over time more people are searching for that. So you could basically, what our editorial team was doing is looking at these kind of blog posts, edit them, and basically renew the content to make it ready for republication, basically.
Totally.
Like it's likely that for that type of content, like 60 to 80% is still completely relevant. Just like 20 to 40% of either the tools that you mentioned might have been acquired, stopped, ran out of business. I don't know.
But you can go back. You can update that content. Maybe publish a new URL, redirect the old one in, and it gives that just that continuous.
Yeah, actually, we didn't even do
same.
That. So we kept it at the old URL, basically updated content and pushed it out again on social media. And in terms of like how much time that takes compared to like writing a new blog post, that was definitely worth it for
us. Totally. Less fun for a writer, but you know, if they're incentivized properly, then
you wouldn't
traffic
like.
And,
we wouldn't have them do it all day long, but it was part of their regular editorial process.
Gotcha.
I think they like picked up maybe 5 to 10 blog posts a day max, divided for in a of a team size of like 10 people or so.
Right. And was that actually like SEO driven there, or was that more like editorial driven?
Or both.
Both.
Yeah, both. Because like we were providing them with the data and mostly like providing them with like the blog posts that were still driving traffic from search. Because you know for sure at that point that social media traffic is dead. Because like it's definitely outdated. So we were doing that in cooperation with them, but they were doing the actual work, because you still have like your editorial strategy around it.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, Martin, I don't want to take up any more of your time. You've been super nice to be here with me. I really appreciate you talking a bit about enterprise SEO and, you know, the work you did at the Next Web and lessons you learned and what you're doing at Postmates. It's super cool. I look forward to seeing y'all grow. I'll keep an eye on you in Ahrefs or somewhere like that. To wrap it up, could you tell the watchers who have made it to this point where they can find you online? Where's best to get in touch?
Sure, you can easily find me on LinkedIn, Google my name, find me on Twitter, LinkedIn. I think my email address is relatively easy to find, luckily and unfortunately. And like find me there, get in touch with me if you want to know more. Like I'm always open to help everybody out. So like shoot me a message and I'll try to see what I can do.
Awesome, sounds good. Well, I will put, I'll link to your website, Twitter, LinkedIn, et cetera. In the show notes. Martin, once again, thank you for being here, and we'll speak to you next time.
You're welcome, John. Thanks a lot for having me.
You bet.